Please turn with me in tonight, congregation, in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, where we have an image, a picture painted there for us of the Lamb upon the throne, but a very vivid picture as well. It's really just a side note in this entire chapter, as the focus is on the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but a side note there of the essential nature of our prayers, how important God Himself considers our prayer. And I want us to take note of that here this evening and really work from that this evening as well. Revelation chapter 5, we'll read a short chapter, so we'll read the entire chapter here beginning at verse 1. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you this evening. And then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' And then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts here tonight. I draw your attention to our text, which is verse 8. Verse 8, "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Let's ask God's guiding hand upon his word as it's brought forth here tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray that you may help us understand the importance, the essential nature of prayer in our lives. Father, we know how easily we convince ourselves that we can go on without it, that prayer takes too much of our time and is too hard. Father, may that idea, that thought, be banished from us, especially here this evening. May you teach us. Teach us that you long to hear the cares of our soul. Help us then, as your people, to understand the importance this spiritual discipline. And may you work within our souls, even here this evening, that we may be prayerful saints. Grant this blessing to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come tonight in our study of the Heidelberg Catechism, as I have mentioned to you, to its last section, a section describing the role and the purpose of prayer. And our scripture passage for this evening shows us the importance of prayer in the eyes of God Himself. Our text for this evening reveals the very high regard that the Lord has for our prayers, the value that He places upon them. In the broader context of Revelation chapter 5, we see the Lamb of God receiving His proper due, the honor and the glory that He alone deserves in heaven because He's triumphed over sin and death. Only He, we are told here, is able to open the scroll which begins God's just judgment upon this earth. This Lamb of God has been slain, we're told, but He has overcome. He is now risen from the dead and sits enthroned as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, notice. And He is worthy then to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And beloved, according to verse 12, this honor and this glory that is spoken of and sung of by the 24 elders, what I want us to see here this evening, congregation, is that these four living creatures and the 24 elders, that they give to the Lord the prayers of the saints. That's part of that honor and glory and blessing. Our prayers, your prayers, that you send heavenward each day. Notice verse 8 tells us that when the four living creatures and the 24 elders come and fall down in worship before the Lamb, what does our text say? That each one's holding a harp. Realize that would represent the songs that we sing, the praise that we give. And what else are they holding? Golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Beloved, catch the imagery being used here. Your prayers, those sighs and tears that you rise up to the Lord, the requests that you make, are pictured here to be like incense. The smoke of which rises up to God's throne, becoming that sweet-smelling aroma of praise before God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. Our prayers, beloved, in essence, are those spiced candles that you have in your home. Only these prayers beautify the throne room of God and make it a sweet-smelling aroma to Him. Your prayers do that, beloved. And what a beautiful thought that is then. What an incentive then we have to lift up our prayers regularly, daily, before God's throne of grace. To make sure that our golden bowls of incense never run dry. That they're always full. That those sweet-smelling candles never go out. And yet, congregation, if we are honest with ourselves, our sinful human nature doesn't much care about those prayer candles going out, does it? Our prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God for the great work of salvation performed by Jesus Christ, His Son, our Savior, hardly even fill the incense bowl, do they? In fact, some of our prayer bowls may well barely have the bottom covered. Well, our catechism authors show us how in tune they are to our sin-filled human natures by asking the questions that they do of us in Lord's Day 45. Please turn to that with me in the backs of your Psalter hymnals. You see, the authors of our catechism knew themselves and they knew their people very well. And what they knew was the tendency that we all have to downplay the importance of prayer. They knew how willing we are to let this part of our Christian walk slide. How quickly we forget to praise our Lord and Savior as He deserves through this avenue of prayer. So the Trinity Psalter Hymnals, page 893. If you're at home and are using a forms book, it's page 252. If you're at home and using a blue Psalter hymnal, it's page 57. But notice, as you turn to that, what a forthright question begins our catechism study on prayer. You know, these last eight Lord's days that are before us are dedicated, as I mentioned, to this subject of prayer. But the authors show their understanding of human nature by anticipating our resistance to this Christian discipline. Look at question and answer 116. Why do Christians need to pray? And the answer comes because prayer, notice this, is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. Now, beloved, this answer might strike some as being shocking, that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. Really? Do you believe that's true? Now, remember where our catechism is, and where this Lord's Day fits into the broader outline that our catechism is following. We've just ended, you remember, spending much time and effort explaining the role and the purpose of God's law, the Ten Commandments, how that they are to rule and overrule in the believer's life. And so, you know, here we might have expected our catechism writers to say something that striving to live out these Ten Commandments, these holy laws, that would be the most important part of our thankful living. That if we would just pattern our lives more closely with these 10 perfect laws, that would be the most important thing we could possibly do as a Christian. Or maybe God would be happy by the way we live for Him according to this law. And so that is what we are striving and must strive most importantly with every part of our life. But that's not what our catechism says, is it? The writers were wiser than that. They understood that if that is how they presented God's law to us, that our following of it would be the most important part of our living, they would be simply training up another generation of legalists, Pharisees who just tried to outdo one another in perfect living so they could brag about their accomplishments. No, you see, the key to understanding this bold statement of answer 116 is really found in the last part of answer 115. Go back just one question and answer there and take a look at that again. Since no one in this life can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, why does God want them preached so pointedly? And the answer comes first, so that all our life long we may more and more come to know our sinful nature and thus more eagerly seek the forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. In other words, this law teaches us our sin, points out how much we need a Savior. But this part, second, so that we may never stop striving, look at this now, and never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, so that we may be renewed more and more after God's image until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. Can you see how holy living is accomplished? It's only through prayer. Only when we pray and ask God regularly for this blessing, this grace of holy living, can we then actually go out through those doors and live out that law. If we're not first on our knees in prayer, living for Christ will be nowhere to be found. So understand the essential nature that prayer has. Renewing us, as answer 115 states, more and more after God's image. Through prayer, God the Holy Spirit grants us the grace that we need so that we can live out these Ten Commandments and be made in the image of God. It's prayer that does this, congregation. Not us going out and trying harder. Through prayer, God sends His grace. And it washes over us. So can you see the critical role that prayer then plays in living out the life of the believer in Christ? Here's why our catechism writers then say that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. When we pray continually with heartfelt longing, as answer 116 puts it, that's how we fill up those golden bowls of incense, as our text describes them. We're bringing praise to God and glory to the Lamb because we're showing that we're realizing that we would never survive in this world without the Lord guiding us and His Holy Spirit leading us. Because you see, beloved, when we pray, we are admitting our great need for God. And beloved, yet that's exactly why prayer is so hard for us to do. Because we don't like to admit we need anyone, much less God. We would much rather be more like Donald Trump. Self-assured, self-confident, independent, self-sufficient. Now I voted for him twice. Don't get mad at me here. But you see, That's how the world perceives power. But that's not how God perceives power. It's when you're on your knees that you're most powerful in the eyes of God. Prayer forces us to reveal who we really are, to admit that we would never make it in life without the Lord. Because you see, when we pray, we're admitting that we can't take care of ourselves. And so we turn for help to the only one who can take care of us. When we pray, we're admitting that God is omniscient and that we are not. That God is benevolent and we are in need of that grace. That God is immutable even while we change and decay even more every day. That God is sovereign and that we are but helpless and puny. See, here's the reason why we pray. Because God deserves our praise and we need His blessing. He is our Creator. And so as His creatures, we come on the bended knee of our heart seeking His grace. He's filling us with His blessing through our prayers. Do we need a better reason to pray? Let me ask you, congregation, is your prayer life honoring the Lord, filling your golden bowls? A Second question that needs to be asked by our catechism writers before they really dig into their study of the Lord's Prayer, which really doesn't start until next week, but this is found in question and answer 117. Notice the interrogative word that begins each one of the questions in this Lord's Day. That's interesting. And question 116 begins with why. Question 117 begins with how. Question 118 and 19 begin with what. You see, in this Lord's Day, we have the why, the how, and the what of prayer. So we have the reason we pray in answer 116, the method we use to pray in answer 117, and then the things for which we pray in answer 118. Everything we need to know about prayer in this Lord's Day tonight. And so the next question that needs to be asked after we've established the importance of prayer is then, how are we supposed to pray? What's the proper way for us to pray? Does God even care how we pray, or is he just happy with the fact that we're praying? Look at question and answer 117. How does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? An answer: first, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask of him. And second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. And third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation that even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. And take notice of the myriad of scripture examples there that are brought forth at the bottom of the question. Beloved, here we have three guidelines to God-glorifying prayer. And in one sense, beloved, even though I said so clearly that our human tendency is to neglect prayer, yet here is revealed to us that we have a natural instinct built into us of our need to pray. We don't like to pray because our fallen sinful nature says, you can do it yourself. But here we have revealed to us how God created us, dependent upon him. Our inner heart knows it. Our sinful self does not want to admit it. But here we see a natural instinct to pray. And we see that most clearly at those critical times of life and of death, especially when we instinctively know we must pray. The soldier in the foxhole with the bombs going over his head. The passenger on the airliner when the captain comes on the intercom and says, "We have an emergency." The driver on the interstate who in a split second sees that a horrible accident is about to take place and only has the time to say, "Oh God." The patient in the doctor's office when they're told their sickness cannot be healed. How quickly, beloved, no matter how cynical and skeptical the person may have been before that event about prayer, they become prayer warriors. But the question, beloved, before us tonight is, does God even listen to such prayers? Will God answer those prayers? I mean, just because prayers are flung skyward by desperate people who now find themselves in need, is God obligated to reply? You know, many people around the world pray throughout the day, but very few pray in a way where God will listen. Now, don't misunderstand what I just said there. God hears every single prayer. He hears them because God hears every word that is ever spoken by every single person on the face of the earth. God knows even our very thoughts that go through our mind without us even saying them, according to Psalm 139, verse 2. But does God listen to each one of those prayers? In other words, does he not just hear it, does he also answer it? Notice the key word that our catechism writers use in the question of 117. Listen, so that he will listen to us. So how should we pray so that God will not just hear our words, but listen to our prayers? Catch the difference between the two, because it's critical. You know, if you have the radio on all day around your home or at work, you hear music, but do you really listen to each word? Catch every detail of every song? At the end of the day, would you be able to repeat back every single song that you heard that day? And of course, the answer is no. You're hearing, but you're not really listening. Students sitting in the classroom may hear their teacher, but are they learning anything from their teacher, listening to the teacher? And beloved, so it is with many human prayers. God hears them, but they are just so much background noise. And some may even sound very eloquent and nice. But if they fail this three-part test that's given to us here in answer 117, God will not listen to them. He is not going to answer them. So what constitutes an acceptable prayer before the face of God? One that will, in fact, then fill those golden bowls with incense in heaven? Ones that glorify and praise the great Lamb who has been slain? Well, first of all, our catechism states a true prayer must be prayed in real sincerity. From the heart, answer 117 puts it, to the one true God. Now, beloved, understand this very first requirement alone cancels out 90% of the prayers that are said around the world each day. 90%. Because you see, many prayers are simply repeated from memory. So they don't really arise from the heart with any sort of feeling. Other prayers are spoken to saints or are addressed simply to the Supreme Being. Many more are prayed to outright idols. So yes, God hears each one of those prayers and he takes great offense at them. He marks down each one of those prayers as a sin in that person's book of life. True biblical prayer is Trinitarian in its makeup, addressing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is a simple telling on our part of what is going on within our soul. Our struggles and our burdens, our joys and our blessings. It's simply heart talks with God. That's the first element of true prayer. Tell him what you're feeling. He will listen. The second guideline for true prayer that we're given in this answer is that we must follow prayer in true and total honesty. The Catechism puts it this way: we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. This is an important note for us as well. You know, too often when we pray, we want to think that we can treat God how we so often treat other people. You know, so often when we meet someone on the street, they say, "Oh, how are you doing?" "Oh, fine." Our life might be in ruins, but we say, "Oh, fine." But they don't know any different. We don't bother to go into detail with them. We just pass it off as meaningless. And so often when we pray, we believe we can do the same thing with God. Maybe it's a sin that we refuse to let go of. And we come in prayer before God pretending that it's not even a part of our life in the hopes He won't notice. Or we have this huge concern weighing us down, a worry hanging over our head like Damocles' sword. But we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to admit it to the Lord. We don't want to bring it before God's throne of grace. We tell ourselves, well, He doesn't want to hear. I'll just take care of it myself. Beloved, how often aren't we less than honest with God? He knows us better than we know ourselves. Why would you even try to keep something from Him? How foolish of us. So our catechism tells us we must humble ourselves, admit our need, hide nothing, and acknowledge our need of Him. We do not approach God as equals. He is the superior. We are His servants. And so we come seeking His grace, admitting our faults, asking for forgiveness. Beloved, this is why confession and repentance are always a major part of proper God-glorifying prayer. Thirdly, here, in this answer, we pray our prayers in all confidence, knowing that God will surely listen to us, not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ and what He has done on our behalf. Because this Lamb who was slain is worthy of opening the scroll, because He is the highest name on earth and in heaven, because the Son has so completely and perfectly fulfilled the Father's will in His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, and ascension. The Father then, because of Christ, will listen to our prayers when they are prayed in faith to Christ. And this is why we are always sure to close out our prayers with that ending that is so badly needed. In Jesus' name. Or for Jesus' sake. Something along that line. Because you see, we're admitting that we are coming and approaching the throne of God not because of ourselves, but because of Christ and His great work. Jesus as our mediator before the Father in glory. How He ever lives to intercede on our behalf, as the book of Hebrews so beautifully puts it. Jesus takes our weak, human, imperfect prayers and brings them before the Father as strong, holy, mighty prayers of faith. G.I. Williamson, the Presbyterian theologian, in his commentary on the Catechism, writes this, and I'm quoting here, "A person who can stand up in public and pour out a torrent of eloquent words is often thought to be mighty in prayer. While in actual fact, however, the man who is too choked up to express more than a groan or a sigh may really be praying in a manner that is more pleasing to God." End of quote. You don't have to be eloquent, beloved. The Lord knows what's on your heart. His Holy Spirit interceding on behalf of our groaning spirit, bringing that prayer before the Lord. It's not in how many words you say or how beautiful they might be. It is in how open your heart is to God. It's how willing you are to humble yourself before His face and admit your great need of Him. It's in how dependent you are on your Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the things that determine whether your prayer is listened to by God. Thirdly here, and just briefly tonight, question 118 asks about the kinds of things we are to pray for. 118, take notice of that. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? And the answer, everything we need. spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer which Christ our Lord himself taught us. And question and answer 119 explains that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Now there's two things I want to point out about answer 118. Very quickly here. The first of these is that word need. Everything we need, notice. Don't confuse that little word need with our ever-present and long list of wants. You see, God promises to meet our every need. He does not promise to supply and to give us everything we want. But secondly, notice also that within that realm of need, notice how all-encompassing our prayers can be. That everything we need spiritually and physically. And beloved, not only is this just personal prayers for our own spiritual and physical need that we can pray about, but we can pray about our brothers and sisters' needs as well. Body and soul, our fellow believers in Christ around the world who are hurting and afflicted, hit by cyclones and earthquakes, those suffering under oppressive government regimes, those sick and afflicted in hospital beds and nursing homes. Beloved, have you ever run out of prayers in your prayer list? Just read the paper. Open up your news feed. There's a wealth of things to pray for right there. And God will listen. Now, beloved, in the weeks ahead, our catechism, as I mentioned, will be using the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer to help guide us in this most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. But until then, may we all be more actively engaged in filling up our golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. May we, out of thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done for us, show forth our praise for him by gathering around God's great throne of grace in fervent, heartfelt prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you again for this avenue that we have, this most important part of this avenue of prayer. Lord, we would pray, may you work upon us and show us just how important these prayers are. May you grant your blessing. May you give us this grace. May you send your Spirit upon us, first and foremost, to teach us our own need, but then how much, how willing we would be to bring then that need to you, because you alone can meet it. Lord, hear our prayer. Grant these people your blessing and watch over our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask all of this. Amen.